Boy, I'm privileged to be here. It's always a thrill to be put in a position that I get to represent our Western culture. I was born into it. I've never wanted to be part of anything else in my entire life. I was born on a cattle ranch, and following horses and cattle around is all I've ever known and all I ever wanted to do. And the people that I want to be around know about those things. And so it's always a real privilege to be associated as Western or as a cowboy. And I'm just honored to be here before you as a representative of our Western culture. But more than that, this morning I get the privilege of coming to you with a message from the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, isn't that crazy that he would trust a sorry old cowboy like me to come to you this morning with a message from him? I just find that absolutely amazing. No matter how long I've been doing this, I find that incredible. And it's just I can't tell you the honor that it is. And you know, this message this morning has been prayed over. We prayed over it back behind. Mark prayed over it in the beginning when he started. Just a minute ago, Chris prayed over it again. And I'm of the belief that we can't be doing too much praying, okay? And I'm also of the belief that if anybody came here this morning to hear from me, you're going to be sadly disappointed. I am a man. The best that I can do is entertain you for a little while. So our hope is that the Holy Spirit will show up. And I would be honored if Olivia, I can't see good enough to tell even where she is, but if Olivia had come down here, not that this hasn't already been prayed over, but I believe that there ain't too much praying. And second, and with all the praying, the one thing that we have requested, but I want to request it again, just that I would not be in the picture and that the Holy Spirit would show up here and minister to you. And this was Olivia's gig to start with, and she is gracious to step aside and let me come. And I'm going to tell you all, I love this girl right here. The mighty God is working out something amazing in her life. And I'm going to tell you something else before she starts praying. She needs your prayers, because with that calling that's on her life, the enemy is coming against that. He don't like it. And so she, because of that amazing calling, she is going to have challenges that people with that don't answer that calling so quick may not have. And the difference between her and success is going to be you all and those of us that know her. And that's the truth. But anyhow, I'm on a bunny trail here. But would you pray over this, please?
Thank you. If you guys would pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this day and for this ability for us to be here and just for putting this message in John's heart, Lord. And I pray that you just move him out of the way. Speak through him in such a way, Lord, that you move in our hearts. And may the hearts of these people, all in this room, be open, Lord, to receive that message, because everyone here can get something from it, Lord. You're going to be speaking to all of us, and I pray that we are open to hearing what you have to say and that you give us the courage to go out and obey you. And I just thank you, Lord, for putting that courage in John's heart to be able to obey you for this calling that you put on his life, Lord. And I pray for all the prayer requests there may be, Lord. If there's someone sick here, heal them. If there's somebody hurting, Lord, just save them from that pit of despair they feel they may be in. And I also want to pray for those people in California, Lord, with those wildfires. I know there are people all over the world praying for us in that time when we experience them here. And I just want to pray for them as well. So may we all leave here changed, Lord, by you. And may you just show up and reveal yourself to every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. So, the other night I got the privilege of eating dinner with the messengers. And when I left there, the Holy Spirit started laying, as I was leaving, he started laying something on my heart. And it goes like, something like this. Because of our meeting, I knew that I was going to get a chance to speak to you all at least one time. And so my thoughts were, as I prayed, if I only get to talk to them one time, Father, what is it that you would have me tell them? What is the message that you would share with them through me? And immediately some things started coming to my mind, and he started speaking to me, and it was about what we believe. And I got, I never cease to be amazed at how he works. And as we heard the first song, what was the title of the first song?
My Faith in You.
My Faith in You. And I got to wondering, is it? What do we believe? Is our faith really in that? Or is it torn? Is it kind of in that and kind of in what we can do? And I was thinking about the importance of what we believe. I see Canyon over here, and when he's roping, whether he wins or loses depends on what he believes. Before, it don't matter how talented he is. He is more talented than some of the people that he ropes against. He is less than others. And neither one of them really has that much to do with whether he wins or not. What his winning depends upon is what he believes. Trevor Brazil, the winningest guy we have ever had in the Western world. And when he enters arena, he don't have one doubt that he can win. He knows. Is he the most talented cowboy we've ever had? I would surely think not. Is he even, does he work hard? They say he works amazing. But I am certain in my mind that you could dig around and you could find other guys that work just as hard as him that don't win as much. So what's the difference? It's what they believe. When Trevor shows up, he believes that he can win. Absolutely. There ain't no doubt in his mind. Now, the proof will be down the road, and if he believes in a God with unlimited resources, which he proclaims, I've read some stuff that he proclaims that, and so my hope is that he does. Down the road, we'll get to see as it goes, from his life, whether that's true or not. We can all say it. We can all get up here and sing the song, and I can stand before you and I can tell you what I believe, mightily and powerful, and it doesn't impact your life any more than what knowing that Trevor rides into the arena, knowing he can win, don't help us win one bit. We have somehow got to come to terms with what we believe. We have somehow got to come to terms that, yes, I put all my faith in you, Lord. I believe that your resources are unlimited. We can say it, but somehow we got to come to terms with it and decide, do we believe it? Years ago, when I first come in, I cut my teeth in the cutting horse business, ranching, and then the cutting horse industry did. And as I started, when I first got going, there was a guy named John Talbert. And when I got going, John Talbert was king of the world. When he entered the arena, he was a big thinker, and I got to know him. He believed that he could win every time he cracked the herd, and he did. He was almost impossible to get around. He also believed that it was in his power. And so he would do things, illegal things, to enhance him along the way so that he could continue to do this. And several years into it, he quit winning so much, and he started having trouble, and he had started having more trouble, and it started showing what he really believed, that it was in his power, his winning. And eventually he got to where he didn't believe that no more. He thought, man, if they ever bring me back, it'll be a miracle. I heard him say that one time. The fault that he had, and I love John. I just thought he was a great example of this message. John's fault in all that was that he thought it was on him. If we're sitting here and we think that this life depends on what we can get done, I'm not telling you that you don't have to work really hard at it, but what I'm telling you that if you're dependent upon your power to get this done, you are going to run out of resources. You can't do enough stuff strong enough, long enough, fast enough, be smart enough, tough enough to get through this deal in your power. He couldn't, and you can't either. I want you to turn with me today. We're gonna start in Ephesians. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting with how it goes, you know, and with me being here this morning as I was studying this, I just think this is so powerful. So if we go to Ephesians, and I'm going to start in the third chapter, but for the sake of me being here this morning and to tell you where that we are at and who we believe and who we're expecting to come here and show us, I want to start in the fourth chapter and then we're going to back up. This is a glimpse of what Paul believed as he was writing this letter to the people of Ephesus. But in the fourth chapter, this is what he says. He says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling." He believed that every person he's talking to had a calling. And then he says, "For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle, be patient, and be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults." He also believed that each of us are human and far from perfect. "Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." Verse 3, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Verse 4, and this is so amazing, and we get so confused, we get to thinking that there are churches. God came and he built the church. And where is it? It's not churches. He don't have multiple brides. He's got one, his people. "For there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That is our hope. And that is what every cell in my body believes. It didn't just happen. It was a process. I had to start with as much faith as I could muster in the beginning that maybe my God would bail me out. I listened to, just a couple of days ago, a friend of mine testified. He shared me his testimony. And he is really sick right now. He's got pancreatic cancer. And he shared with me some things. One of them was how a mutual friend of ours reconciled his marriage. And he said, and I think about this, how we believe. He had went to his pastor, and his pastor said, "Now, do you believe that our Lord, the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of this universe, can change you and your wife?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I believe that. As a matter of fact, I'm already changed." He said, "Well, let me put it a different way then. Since you believe the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the universe, loves you in a way that you cannot imagine, will change you and her." He's like, "Oh, what if he don't?" And I'm like, isn't that where we are? All of a sudden we hit this spot. What if he don't? Rather than just knowing that he says that he's going to work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if he says he will, he will. It may not look like we think it's going to, but it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. But we get hung up there in our belief. And when we're hung up there, though our God has no limits, and we're going to go, eventually we're going to end up in James, and we're going to back this up in Scripture. Though our God has no limits, he allows us to limit him in our lives. The quality of our life in him, and when we run out of rope, completely depends on what we believe. If we believe he is who he says he is, and he is going to do what he says he's going to do, it's going to work in an amazing, incredible way, even though we won't understand most of it, throughout this life and way into the next. If we believe, what if he don't, we're going to get to live that he didn't. It's just that simple. But so I want to go back to Ephesians, third chapter right now. We'll start right down here in the 7th verse. And I start here. This is a little ahead of where I want to get to, but I start here because it gives a glimpse of what Paul believed. And my hope is if some of you here, and I'll promise you some of you are here, don't quite believe this yet. But maybe we can go to him and say, you know what? Paul believed this. Will you show me how to believe it? So here we go. Verse 7, Ephesians 3. By God's grace and mighty power, starts right out. He believes that he has grace and he believes his power is mighty. I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. It trumps everything else that Paul thought he might be doing in his life. And here's something else. Verse 8. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people. He's like, hey, it ain't on merit. If it was on merit, I wouldn't get called. I got called because he called me. And it's an amazing privilege. Very much like the privilege of me standing before you today. It is not on merit, I can assure you. It is because my Lord got a purpose for each and every one of us. This just happens to be mine today. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless, here we go, this is what he believes, about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. And his hope when he spoke this, and my hope today, is that we get a glimpse that our treasures in him are endless. There is no bottom. I was chosen to explain to everyone this verse 9, this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church, here we are, right here today, ready to be displayed, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And I would be lying to you if I told you I completely understood that verse. But what I do understand is he wants to use us, the church, to do amazing things and to show his power. Verse 11. This was his eternal plan, which he carried through Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So he knows because what Jesus did, he's got a shot at God that he did not have before. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your believer? Verse 13. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. He said, look, just because you see me going through hard stuff don't mean I don't believe this 100% and I ain't sold out. I am suffering for you. And this is something amazing. It leads us to believe he could get out of that trap anytime he wanted to. But he is suffering for them there, for us today, and he knew it was worth it. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Now we're getting to where I wanted to go. Verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited, think about that, unlimited, what are the limits on that? I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, as we believe it. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Verse 11, and may you have the power. How do we get that power? We start believing, and he starts taking care of the rest. Same as it happened for Paul, it will happen for you. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness and life and power that comes from God. Now that's amazing. And my hope is, as we leave here today, that our goals are to understand the depth, the width, the height of His love and His power and the things that He can alter, the things that He will intercede for us. Just because Paul had trouble, just because we have trouble, don't mean that all this ain't true. It just means that that gives him a chance to showcase. He told us earlier in there that he was going to showcase himself through us, the church. And if Paul had trouble, so will we. But he's ready to overcome all that in crazy ways that we can't even fathom. If we believe it, does it have to happen? No. It's trapped in our believing somehow. Let's go to James. Come here. And I want to tell you, I do this not because it's the handiest. I do like the light with my old eyes and I can see better. But I like to read from my phone as an example that nobody in today's church should ever be without a Bible. We have no excuse. Who don't have an iPhone in here? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Yeah. You guys are stuck with a paper Bible. That's what Mark said. The rest of us have no excuse ever. We can have God's Word right here with us at all times. Turn with me to James. This is the slow part. This is the part I don't like about this. It's because I have to scroll around with the particular app I have. And then I can't read because I've been reading the big letters. James 1, first chapter. And we're going to start in the second verse. This was a letter, James. If you've ever wondered who James was, sometime Google up who he was and what he did. It's a crazy story. This guy, his testimony is amazing. At one point in time, the end of his life, they get tired. He's causing all kinds of ruckus, believing in the living God. Of course, he's his brother, and he wasn't sold out until the resurrection. After that, he was changed. He was 100%. He believed. Before that, he was like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, of course, I wasn't there, but my hunch is, he's like, oh, look at old Jesus showboating again, But once he's seen who he really was, he was changed and he was sold out. At one point in his life, at the very end, they needed to shut him up. He was causing such a stir with this Jesus movement. So they take him up in this tower and they're like, look, if you'll just get up here and denounce the living God, if you'll just denounce Jesus so this commotion will settle down, we will leave you alone. He's like, okay. So they get him up there in the tower. They get him out there before the people. And he starts proclaiming the power of Jesus and who he was. And they get so frustrated, they throw him off the tower. And by some crazy miracle, it don't kill him. And he gets up now he's down amongst them. He gets up and he starts again proclaiming the power of the living God and the wonderful hope that we had in Jesus and the things that Jesus, his brother and his Savior, he never proclaimed that he was his brother. He claimed that he was a slave to him. And he says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And to shut him up, one of the guards that was there had to rush in there and club him to death before all them people to get him to stop proclaiming Jesus. That is sold out. He didn't have any trouble believing. So that's an amazing example of really, truly sold out believing. But let's go here. So this is some of his writing. First chapter, second verse. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it opportunity for great joy. Now that takes some believing. We all have trouble. None of us like it. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it opportunity for great joy. Like, oh, okay. I'm going to work on that part of my believing myself. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just being honest. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now I'm like, okay, I can get a handle on that. I'm getting it. Verse 4, so let it grow when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And you're like, oh man, if I could get to the way I was, to the spot where I was complete, that's got to be the goal. Then this troubles might just be worth it. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now here's the part, that the reason that I went to all this is this verse right here. And I want you to get this. Because we struggle in this area. Every one of us in here has or is struggling in this spot. And we got to deal with it. We got to deal with what we believe. And we got to deal with what we don't believe. We want to believe this, but we get trapped in what we can do. A lot like my friend John. So we've got to deal with this by going to him. We can't overcome it on our own. He's got to show himself to us. He's got to overcome things along the way. And as we live through each of those, and as we start to see how he works himself in a mighty way through our troubles, he don't rescue us from them mostly. Sometimes he does, but usually not. He rescues us through them. And he reveals himself in a mighty way. Verse 6. And here's the hard one. But here's the most important one. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave on the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. And when have we not been there? I mean, really. Verse 7, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, this mighty God with unlimited resources will allow his resources to be limited by what we believe. Do we believe him or don't we? He knows we're going to struggle with this. He knows. He created us. He knows every hair on our head by number. You can't tell me he don't know. But he lays that out there. Why? Because he knows we can't overcome it on our own. But he wants us to. He wants us to seek him and say, okay, God, please bow your heads with me right now. Close your eyes. You know where you are. You know what you struggle with. You know that you don't always find, if ever, great joy in your troubles. You know that you're like my friend Jeff. You're like, I know that he can do all that, but what if he don't? Father, we don't want to be trapped with what we don't believe. Father, I pray that each and every person here, each and every person with ears today, hears what you're saying to us, that you are the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, and you are good to your promises, and your resources are unlimited. Father, we do not want to limit you. We know we have, we know we do, but we're over it. We're sick of it. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, and every time we come to that spot, Father, I pray that each and every person in here today, that you would give them, that you would give me, somebody beside me, to remind me, another member of the church, to remind me of who you are and your power and just how wide and how deep and how long your resources are. Father, as we come to you in repentance, we are sorry. I pray that if there's anybody in this place today that has never turned their life over to you, that today is the day. I pray that they would be so brave and so filled with you right now that they want to make that change, that they come see somebody in this place that they can trust and they allow you to walk them through this believing thing through the truth of your word and prayer. Father, I praise you for the opportunity to be in your presence today. I praise you for the miracle right now that you're doing amongst us. And I personally thank you for the opportunity to represent you, though I know I do not deserve it. I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty, unlimited name. Amen.